Okay, we are picking up five lines from the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, which are words of Milamdo Midrash Halachos VaHagados. Our learning is once again sponsored Linishma Shulamis Mas Yaakov, the Neshama Shiram Naliyah. So Zakh the Gemara. The Gemara is quoting the Mishnah. The Midrash told us that someone who is Madir benefit, so right, it's forbidden. So Reuben is usher to have benefit from Shimon, and Shimon is a teacher. So the halacha is Milamdo Midrash Halachos VaHagados, that Shimon is allowed to teach Reuben Halachos VaHagados. However, he's not allowed to teach him mikra, he's not allowed to teach him the regular psukim. So the Gemara's understanding that we must be talking about a case to one who is generally not charging. So if you're generally not charging, if the person normally charges, then the Gemara assume, then the Rishonim assume that clearly you would be allowed to charge him, because that's just paying for a normal service is not considered an extra benefit. That's the way people are. He charges $100 an hour for his tutoring services, and you are modern now from him. So many of the Rishonim assume that that's not a special benefit for you. You're going to pay the same $100, and you're getting back learning, but that's just a service. That's not called Hana. That is Taka Machlokas. Other Rishonim explain that no, that also is considered a benefit that it would be Asher, but the Ran understands that we're talking about where you wouldn't generally be getting paid. So the Gemara says, Mikra Maitama Loyalam Dena. So why can't you teach him Mikra? Mishum de Kamahanilai, because that you'd be benefiting. Because there, when it comes to Mikra, people would sometimes charge you. So if he is removing the fee, if he's waiving the fee for you, that would be you benefiting from him. So the Gemara says, and then say the same thing about Midrash. Midrash Nami Kamahanilai. So then assume that, why not? Were we assuming also Midrash is generally done where people might pay for it? And here he is waiving the fee, and therefore he is being mehaniyu. So says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, b'makom shonei schar al mikra. We're talking about a place. The Mishnah speaking specifically about a place where people would charge for learning Torah shebichsav, Tanakh. However, they would not generally receive any payments for teaching midrash. So therefore, meaning midrash means like Gemara, you know, things learning that we learn out from Torah Shebichsav into Torah Shebal Peh. So according to this, if the Madir teaches him Mikra while not making him pay, so then that would be something which you're being benefit from him. However, when he teaches him midrash without paying, that's what everybody does, and therefore you're no special benefit, and it therefore would be mutter. So the Gemara asks a kasha though, my paska. If we're basically saying that halachically, the same, there's no difference between midrash and mikra, so then why should there be any difference between what people are generally paying is only based on what people are, the minhag makom was. People didn't generally charge for Torah shebichsav, and they were charging for midrash in the time, in the case of the Mishnah. Why don't you just say the exact opposite and leave it as both the same? Why is that the whole yesod of the Mishnah without even telling us this, that it's people who generally charge for mikra and not charge for, and charge for midrash, and that's why you would be allowed to teach a mikra but not midrash? That's lechora, a little bit different that the Mishnah is telling us this without qualifying any point of that. So turning on to the next amud, to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph now, says the Gemara, Ha Kamash Malan, we're actually teaching us the afilu b'makom shenot lin schar. That even in a place where people generally receive payment for teaching mikra, ala mikra shari lemishka, one is allowed to receive payment only for teaching mikra, ala midrash lo shari lemishka, but you're not allowed to teach midrash for money. One is permitted to collect a fee for teaching mikra, but not for teaching midrash. So that's what the Gemara is assuming right now, and that would be the halacha. So then what's the hamsheikh? So the Rav points out, lechora, we have to assume also that some places would have an additional chumrah, and they would also not charge payment even for teaching mikra in order to avoid potentially leading up to charging for teaching midrash, which is against the halacha. So therefore, they had some communities would be machmir voluntarily on themselves not to charge for mikra. So in such a circumstance, then it would have the status of midrash where it wasn't being charged for, and therefore none of them would be allowed to be taught by charging, and that would be what we're discussing in a Mishnah. So our Mishnah, we're talking about, that would be what the people generally did. Now our Mishnah is talking about a place where they do not necessarily have that chumrah, and they would accept payment for teaching mikra. So that's the whole point over here, that in that type of community that we're discussing, then teaching for waiving the fee would be something which is a problem, because there are many people in that very city that do charge, and therefore removing it would be considered giving him hana, and that is the problem over here. So the Gemara asks, so what's the difference? We're assuming that the whole halacha of mikra, that the minhag was, that some people didn't do it, was maybe you'll come to do midrash. Why, says the Gemara, what's the difference between the two? What's the difference? The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Dechsiv osi tziva Hashem ba'isayi, lelamed eschem. The Pasuk says, Hashem commanded me at that time, at Har Sinai, to teach you the Torah. This isn't Dvarim. This is Moshe teaching, telling Klal Yisrael, right? The very end, he's the whole Moshe Shmuz, Moshe Rabbeinu. He's teaching him, telling him the history of what happened. Hashem told me to tell you about the Torah. So the Gemara says, we have an additional level of interpretation over here that says, Ma ani b'chinam, Hashem told me to do it, and no one paid me a dollar for my teaching Klal Yisrael, that I taught you without any asking any payment, and Hashem never told me to charge anything. So too, says the Gemara now, so Ma ani b'chinam, apatem b'chinam, just like I did it for free, so too, you guys should be doing it for free. So the Gemara says, but if that's the whole point, that's the drasha, the mikra nami b'chinam, there should be no difference between midrash and mikra. Both should be ikra, didn't be problematic, that you should not be allowed to be collecting money for that. So the Gemara says, you're right. Actually, that is the case. That at the end of the day, both for mikra and for midrash, for Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Sav, you're not allowed to charge anything based on this drasha. We're going to get to Allah Chalamayis and Midrash when we finish the sukkah, but that's what's coming out from this drasha. So the Gemara says, so how is it that we are discussing a case where they were charging for Torah Shebichsav and you're not allowed to charge for Torah Shebichsav. So it's Gemara, Rav Amar, Schar Shimar. That you are allowed to accept payment, not for actual teaching the Torah, but for watching the children. You're like their babysitter. So it's babysitting care. So you're getting charged as a babysitter, because usually, Ran points out, who's the one who learns Mikra? And lines up that the small children, so obviously you have to watch them, that they're not running away and they're not going places. So you're getting babysitting benefits. They're getting paid for babysitter, and that's what you're allowed to charge for. And normally, who learns Midrash? Midrash referring to Torah Shebaal Peh, when you start learning Gemaras, Mishnayos, and the things. Those you start learning later, right? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says 10. So, at that point, a kid is able to watch himself. You're not really getting paid as a babysitter anymore. That's what the Gemara assumes. No, you're allowed to get payment for the trup, explaining how the trup goes. That is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, based on what we're going to see later, Lachor Rabbi Yochanan understands that the whole trup is a din derabban, and therefore that you would be allowed to charge for. Had it been a din deraisa, Lachor Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you would not be allowed to charge him, because that would fit into the category of chukim mishpatim. So it must be that he assumes that the trup is derabbanan, and therefore you are allowed to be charged. Midrash, though, is a din, the dinim on the Torah, what's coming out from the Torah, that would be not allowed to be charged for. So the Gemara has a kasha though on Rav. Says the Gemara, Tanan loyal ben din mikra. Our Mishnah teaches that he's not allowed to teach the person whose subject is neder mikra. So the Gemara says, Bishlam alama and amar sahar pizuk tamin. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, this sits well and good, because hainu de loyalam denu, you're not allowed to teach him. You're not allowed to teach him because the person is permitted to accept payment. So when he waives it, because of sahar pizuk tamin, you're giving him benefit. Because he's allowed to teach him mikra, the trup, and since he's allowed to charge for the trup, and he's not, that's considered giving him benefit. Ela l'man de amar schar shimor. But according to the one who says that the person, the melamed, is getting paid as a babysitter, like Rav Shita, so gadol bar shimor, we're talking about an adult who made the neder, l'chora, right? We're talking about, that's l'chora, because we're going to see that, might be a question. But if we're talking about an adult who made the neder, obviously, he does not need to be babysat. So that's if above the gadol, above the age of 13, he's very mature. He doesn't need to be babysat. He didn't meet our teenagers. But that's what the Gemara assumes. Clearly, they would not need to be babysat, and therefore, you should not be allowed to charge for either of them. So therefore, there should be no special the benefit who for the person who's teaching Mikra or Mishnah. Both of them should be the same halachic status, and both of them should be permitted, because you're not allowed to charge for either of them, and therefore, for Mikra also, you should be allowed to teach him, and Midrash also potentially you're not allowed to teach. You're waiving the fee. So says the Gemara, we must be talking about Bekatan Ketanya. Mishnah speaking about a case of a neder who is a child. So therefore, the Malabed can accept payment for watching him, and if you're waiving that fee, then you would be violating the halacha of benefiting that person who made a neder hana against you. So the Gemara says, Ibe Katan Ema Seifa. If it's like you said that it's a Katan in our Mishnah, so then the Seifa says of a Malabed is Ban of Mikra. You're allowed to teach that person who you made the neder hana from. You're allowed to teach his children. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Katan bar banim, we're talking about a 12-year-old who made the neder. He's the one who's having children. Obviously not. So lechora, what's our Mishnah talking about? Lechora is clearly talking about a gadol. We can't be talking about a katan. So according to Rav, the Gemara is forced to explain. You're right. We're a little bit stuck, and we have to say the following. Chasure mechasra v'achiktani, again, was very dochak. We don't like doing that. We have to assume that our Mishnah needs to be fixed. The girsa, fixed the. Amended and fixed, and therefore it's missing words, so let's add in the following. Lo yilamdenu mikra. A person is not allowed to teach him mikra. Bikatan. This refers only to a katan. Oh, imay a gadol. But if the person was a gadol, malamda lo levan of mikra, he could teach him and his children mikra because there is no charging going on over there because there is no payment for an adult to be watched. So it comes out that in a chanami, you're not allowed to charge an adult for teaching him mikra either because the whole thing, according to the Rav, is being paid not for reading the trap, but rather for watching them. A 13-year-old doesn't need to be watched, and therefore you're not allowed to charge them, and therefore you would not be giving a benefit by waiving that fee. That's what the Gemara assumes according to Rav. Fine, but the Gemara has another problem with Rav now. Says the Gemara, "Meisive another kash tinukas lo korin b'tchila b'Shabbos." That the children are not allowed to read on Shabbos new material. They're not allowed to read material. They're not going to do things that they haven't learned yet. Ela shon and verishon, but they can review things that they already learned right before Shabbos. Then they can review it. Bishlam alaman damar schar pisuk tamim. Now I understand according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the trap is the reason that you're charging for that. That's the only way you can make money. That's why you're not allowed to read new material on Shabbos, because teaching them would be considered new material, and that person would the tutor would be getting paid, and that would be called Schar Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be a problem, and it's going to be Schar Shabbos, which is prohibited. It's usher to make money on Shabbos, even if the actual work is a mutter thing. That's similar to Mekach HaMemkar, you're not really hired for a thing. We're going to get into this halacha, but so theoretically, person is a chazan, and they're hiring you to work on Shabbos, even though it's permitted for you to daven, obviously, so that is going to be usher. How we're allowed to do that, we'll see in the Hamshech of the Gemara. But that is, right now we're assuming that he's not allowed to be paid, and that's going to be usher. So the Gemara says, Elaman to Amar Schar Shimar, but according to the Rav, who says it's about Schar Shimar, Amayin Kor Mitchil V'Shabbos V'Amayin Shonim Barishon. What's the difference between reviewing material and teaching new material? They should both be the same. Ha'ika Schar Shimar Shabbos. Both of them, you are going to be considered making money on Shabbos because it's all you're getting paid is your babysitting services. So Mali, if it's the first time I'm teaching them, or if it's the 100th time I'm teaching them the same thing, it doesn't matter. I'm being paid for my babysitting services. I should be paid the same, which should be usher to hire this person to work for you on Shabbos. But according to you, that the Shita, even on the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, according to you, claim that the Mishnah is better. Schar pisuk b'Shabbos mi aser. Is it really always aser to get paid for teaching the trap? However, don't we have the concept of havlai vavla mishra shari? That it's considered all inclusive. And all inclusive of the larger sum is going to be considered things that are allowed to be paid for on Shabbos. The being paid on Shabbos is included with a bigger sum of money that we're paying you over the term of a week, a month, whatever. That's not considered as if you're specifically being paid for your Shabbos services. And that is one of the big terim, the bezdihat, basically, for being, how do you be able to hire people on Shabbos? Again, assuming they're doing not malachas for you, even for a guy, but they're being paid through the overall week or whatever they're doing for you. So if you specifically have someone for doing for Shabbos, then generally the way that we do that is also by including some of the things that they're driving. You're going to pay them for driving for you for Friday and Motzei Shabbos, and it's included in that schar. You're also giving them also for the, it's a little bit of harama, but I don't think anyone is really makpid. I think we do assume that would be okay. People generally do things, again, like entertainment and things like that for Shabbos. That is the way that we do it. The Sanya, the Braisa tells us, Asocher sapoa lishmar satinok lishmar sapara lishmar sazroya. If someone hires somebody to watch a child for him, so why are we watching a child over here? So many of the Rishonim explain that this is based on not just a regular just watching a child, a babysitter, but actually a specific type of thing that was done to watch over the process for the Para Aduma. During the times of the Para Aduma, when they wanted to have new persons, they would have the water used for these, was done by children who never became impure in their lives. So therefore, they were raised for the first few years in a specific area where we know for sure 1,000% that there was no anything buried below that. And during that time, they were protected from touching anything impure, any sherets and things like that. And that would be hired. Those people who were hired to do that, to watch them. So they're watching them on Shabbos also. Or also to watch the parah itself, to watch the parah, so that the car it can't have any work done to it. And also it has to be tamima, it can't have any blemishes on it, so you have to watch it. And also to watch the zraim. The zraim here are talking about the specific zraim for the omer, for the korban omer, that they would check the barley. They would sow the barley, which grain was used, whether they were going to harvest it, so they have to watch it to make sure that it was growing properly also. So enos din los har Shabbos. We do not pay them for working on Shabbos. So that's talking on a daily basis. He was fixed amount each day of service would be a problem. So therefore, you're not allowed to charge for that. However, lafichach, turning on to the next time. And now, im avdu ein lachay b'chruson. If the things were lost on his watch, he's not on Shabbos, and he's not going to be considered being paid on Shabbos. Therefore, he's called the shomer chinam. He's not going to be chayev. We know there's a major difference between a shomer chinam and shomer sachar. Again, the reason that this case is not allowed to be paid is because he specifically is paying. He's being charged on specifically for Shabbos. You're not allowed to specifically charge for Shabbos if it's not done through Avla, through lumping the sum with something else, that would be a problem here. So the Gemara is assuming that if he's not able to charge, then he's like a Shomer Chinam. V'imei ha-sachar Shabbos, sachar chodesh, sachar shana, sachar shavua, but if he's lumped into the sum of a week, a month, or a year, and based on the 7-day periods and increments, then the worker, therefore, is going to be considered as if he's, that you're allowed to be paid for Shabbos. Notzin lo schar Shabbos, you're allowed to pay him in the lump sum for Shabbos. For example, if let's say he's hired on a weekly basis, and he stops working on the third day of the second week, he'll be paid 1 week's salary additional to 3/7, right? So he'll pay 10 days worth of his salary. So then, if those 10 days were, two of those days, let's say were on Shabbos, so then we would give him those full 10 days worth of pay. Even though it's part of the 2 days of Shabbos, that would be Havla, that's okay. Again, if we were assuming not that way, he would be getting less. He would be subtract those 2 days of Shabbos. He'd only be getting 8 days of profit. So that's what we assume is not, we're allowed to pay them because it's part of the lump sum of the 10 days. So generally, people, our housekeepers and that should just be havla. It should be, they are including the sum with everything they're being paid, not specifically for Shabbos work. So therefore, since he's really, ba'etzim being, understood as being paid for his work on Shabbos through this havla, and it doesn't, because this is the whole reason havla, because the whole thing, issue was that it looks like you're doing business on Shabbos, Havla avoids that issue. It doesn't look like I'm doing it's all Gzeirah Darabanan. And that Gzeirah Darabanan doesn't apply because it doesn't look like I'm working on Shabbos, so it's okay. So therefore, if they were in fact lost on Shabbos, then the person who hired them, who was hired to be paid, is going to be called a Shomer Sachar. And the classic Nafkamina between a Shomer Schinam and a Shomer Sachar is Geneva Ve'aveda. That if something is lost on your watch, you weren't negligent. In both cases, you weren't negligent. If you're negligent, you have to pay no matter what. Even if I've watched your item for free. I just left it. I watched your item and I left it in the street and someone drove over it. Obviously, it's my negligence. I have to pay. We're talking about where you gave my item and something happened. I wasn't like super careful, but I wasn't negligent at all. Someone came into the house. They came in, they broke in, and I wasn't careful to put it in and hide it. So it wasn't my house, but it was locked, but I could have hid it in a better case if I knew it was so chashuv. So if you're Shomer Chinam, you'd be Pater, but if you're Shomer Sachar, you'd have to pay. So you're also, since he's assumed that he's being paid for Shabbos services, then at the end of the day, that would be, the halacha would be over there, that he is in fact like a Shomer Sachar, and you would have to pay him back. So we see that, again, the whole point of bringing this whole thing out, was that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the reason that they shouldn't study new material, l'chora, cannot be that they're about employment, the issue of being paid, because if he's working on a week basis, or month basis, or anything more than just Shabbos itself, then he is considered somebody who can do it through Havla, and you could generally include the lump sum into Shabbos payment and there not be an issue. So therefore, we're stuck both in Rav and in Rabbi Yochanan, why teaching new material on Shabbos is in fact going to be usher. So says the Gemara, it must be the following. Ela gabe Shabbos, hainu tama de'ein korin batchila. Why, with regards to Shabbos, we're not reading new material? Because, shum de yifnu avasun de'yonke lemitzah de Shabbosa. That their fathers, what's going to happen? Their fathers are going to lose out on the time that they're spending with their children if they're learning new material. This is an unbelievable mussar and just telling us what we should be doing with our Shabbos is, if you read the Lashon of the Ran inside over here, in Dibur Maschel, Diyif Navon, on the right side of Mamash, right next to the top over here, Diyif Navon, Dibur Mitzvah, the Shabbos, She'avos, Atinokos, Ponin, Le Mitzvah, Shabbos, U'mishtashin, Amitinokos, they are with their, what are they generally, Shabbos is the time, even nowadays, people are working all week, or busy. Shabbos is a wonderful time to be spending with your children. What an opportunity we have to be spending with our children, says the Ran. And now, if they're learning new material, you're gonna feel badly. You're gonna feel badly that he's missing cheder, and you're not gonna hang out with him. And that's like your real ikar time to be spending with your children, and that's going to ruin Oneg Shabbos for you. If it's just things that they're reviewing, you're not as concerned. You could say, okay, I'll review with him at a later time, I don't have to teach him new things. And therefore, that is the problem of Oneg Shabbos over here. Fascinating run. We should just keep this in mind for Musar for us, is that we really, the Ikaron Shabbos is a time to be spending with our children. Obviously, the time to be teaching them the godless of Shabbos, how amazing it is. No. Obviously, there's malachas they're not supposed to be doing. But also teach them how great Shabbos is. Teach them how gevaldik, how geshmak of Shabbos could be. Singing, amazing food, dancing, whatever it might be. Get them into it. Get them, show them how excited you are for Shabbos. Generally, kids can never fool your children. If you're excited for something, they'll be very excited too. If you show them how much you love it, they'll get into it as well. If you not bad, some like it either, so you have to work on yourself. You know, you have to work on yourself to like it, but this is the time, spend with them. That's what we see beferish from this rod. Others explain a little bit differently that the study of new material is also very difficult. And if they're studying new things on Shabbos, the parents would be delaying their meals because they'd be stuck in cheder trying to figure it out, and they wouldn't come home until 2 or 3 o'clock. You know, it's ruining the parents' Shabbos meal. That's the issue over here. So then they're based on this, that's what Tosos Shita is. Based on this, the Achronim handle whether then it would be mutter for new material to be studied. For Gedolim also, does that same svara, should that apply? Should that apply also for Gedolim? So that's a very big question. So again, the Gemara says, Mishum deShabsa Achlam Veshatim. Shabbos we eat and drink. V'yakar and Alma, and they're going to be tired. They're generally tired because they're tired because at the end of the day they're eating more than they're normally used to. So Kedamar Shmuel says, Shina Vestachilas Cholim Ayin. Changing your eating habits gives you stomach issues sometimes. We see Hashem gives us special kechas. So then Shabbos we say we're actually one of the reasons because we eat so much. So we eat like a heavy cholent and like all these meat and all these things that you eat like 3 days worth of food on Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, okay, that's the Oneg Shabbos, but that also makes you tired. So you're starting new material. You don't have the head for it. So you don't have the head. So that's a shaila over here. Also, is there an inyan not to necessarily learn based on this? Also, this answer seems to say a similar thing that there might be part of it not to learn mamish new. Really, you know, grind out Iyun. Some of the Siri Ivis wants to say maybe that's an Indian. Others say, no, not at all. Minchas Elazar. He says, no, that was specific to children. But for adults, what is Geshmak learning be Iyun? That's like the ultimate thing is learning be Iyun. The Ben Ishchai says that like the power of Chiddush of learning on Shabbos is like 100 times greater than during the week. So Vada should be learning more Sugyas being according to that Svara. So, okay, that's what should be learning. Again, so we just gave the answer to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara explains now Akasha and Rabbi Yochanan. We just had two Kashas and Rav. We explained that really the second one is also a kasha from Yochanan. We answered for both of them. Now we're asking on Rabbi Yochanan. L'man demar schar pisuk tamim. Now according to Rabbi Yochanan rather, who says that the old reason that you're allowed to charge is for pisuk tamim, my time lo amar sar chashima. Why does he not say that the tutor is getting payment for watching like babysitting services like Rav had? So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan didn't like Rav because kasavar banos mi kabayan shimar. That we also said in the Mishnah, the lesson of the Mishnah was banim and banos. So you're watching boys and girls. Girls don't need to be watched so much. They're very good. They're very nice. You know, they don't run around. They're not crazy. And watching them is a lot easier. So then there's not really babysitting services. You don't need babysitting services for children. It can't be that because they're not running around. They're not going to run places. And they're staying indoors. And therefore, there would be no reason to pay the guy for his babysitting services for a girl. You see this in Eretz Yisrael. Like, really, like a 7-year-old has a maturity of like a 25-year-old. She can watch 3 kids. She gives them a bath. They change them. So that's that the girls are really... They're able to hold their own. So the Gemara says, "Lamada mar schar shimar." But according to Rav, why didn't he like Rabbi Yochanan Sfarah? My time with Omar schar pisuk taimim. Why did he not say like? Why didn't he say like Rabbi Yochanan? Why did he not like with Rabbi Yochanan? Kasavar pisuk taimim. The Raisa used. He said, "Who says it's so pashut to be able to assume that you are not able to charge for trup? Trup is part of the mishpat chuk and mishpatim." Says Rav, and therefore he doesn't like the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore he disagreed with him. So when we have the machlokas, there's an afkamina between this, between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, is that according to Rav, the whole idea is, for watching, you're not allowed to charge somebody who is an adult, because you don't require any watching. So you're not allowed to charge. Only a person below the age of 13, a Rabbi, would be allowed to charge. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says it's all about schar of the pisuk tamim, which is the trup, then also an adult would be allowed to be charged. So the Rambam paskin is like Rabbi Yochanan, because Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the lach is like Rav, and therefore you're allowed to charge even mikra, only mikra rather, even for, there's a kula and a flurma. It's that children you'd be allowed to charge for everything according to Rav, but you're not allowed to charge for midrash according to Rabbi Yochanan. So that would be a chumrah. So Rabbi Yochanan would hold that for children, not allowed to charge for midrash, only allowed for teaching them how to read chumash and read it with the trup specifically. So that would be okay according to Rabbi Yochanan. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan is a kula that even for an adult though, an adult would be allowed to charge them as well for teaching them chumash. So that's what comes out of here in Lachora. That's the only heter that we have. So we're very stuck right now. What is going on? How do we have a shul rav? How do we have the concept of people teaching Torah to adults and getting paid? How do we have shiurim being paid? What is going on over here? What exactly is the heter? So the Ran, ready read the Mezayin et Alf, he discussed a big kula based on the Yerushalmi, and that's what we all rely on Bizman Azev, is that that the Ran quotes from the Yerushalmi at the whole reason that was one heter. But there's another concept that this was only mitzvah, the actual studying of Torah, but there's another reason that you can be mekel, is that there's a concept called schar batala. Schar batala is that, and that's really what the Eretz are relying on, is just that it's a loss of income, that is, I could have done something else. I could have gone into whatever it might be and make a lot more money, so whatever am I doing, stopping that and teaching, so then I'm able to get schar batala. It should be pointed out that this heter is lechor the same thing by a doctor. A doctor's not really allowed to charge for his services either, Gemara learns out. How is he allowed to charge? So his schar batala. So his schar batala is a little bit higher, just a little bit, right? It's a little bit higher than that of a Rebbe, but that's the same heter, that's the same heter for them. So it is more of a shayla when you have like these big speakers, you're giving them a lot of money, so their schar batala is higher. They could be doing other things, apparently be very successful and getting more schar batala. That's how we're being paid. I think I remember Rav Schefter once saying that in YU, they specifically used to, when, I think when Dr. Lam was around, they used to like write in the thing that when you're signing it to join YU, that they were charging only for the university, that the kilu, all the yeshiva is free. The university is what they were charging for, not the yeshiva part at all. I think I remember that was something that I remember. But either way, that you're allowed to receive that. What about, is there any form of other heter? So the dark emotion quotes based on Tosos that if a person has no other means to support himself, then that also you're allowed to accept money for Torah. That's a special heter also. So based on that, that's the really the heter of a Rav of a shul. Also, B'dayis Pesach HaBatala is that if you're going to make him do other things, then people are going to be less respectful of him, and he has to be kolkulo involved with the community, and therefore you're allowed to pay him even if it's kolkulo for his Torah. I think Rav Schefter, remember, also quoted later Achronim point out, maybe it was a Siv or others, remember Rav Schefter quoted, and nowadays they don't even come out to the Heter whatsoever, that the role of a Rav, 90% of it has nothing to do with Torah. He's dealing with the problems in the shul and the politics and the issues and all the things that he's dealing with, and when is the minion going to be and who's going to be the chazan. That has nothing to do with Talmud Torah, so that you're just paying him like a regular worker. So there's no shayla b'chol. Rav of a shul problem, it doesn't have to come out that special after Darkei Moshe. You can rely on the fact that 90% of his job is not referring to actual Talmud Torah per se. So that's what I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's what I'd like to quote, that anyway you'd be allowed to hire a Rav for your community, because that's not an issue of only paying for Torah, because he's doing a lot of other things as well. And that be'etzim is the heter. But we should also realize, just a mussar haskel, another mussar, is that be'etzim, what is the halacha, is that Torah should be for free. And there is a tuition crisis, and the Rebbe said that the Torah is supposed to be bringing life and chiyus to the world, and people are unfortunately not even having more children because of how expensive it is. We really should be making a priority in tzedakahs to try to make tuition more affordable for people who have a lot of children. It's a very big thing. It'd be, if we're able to do so, it would be a gevaldik mitzvah, and you'd be bringing in more people to the world and keeping the ikar din as a bechina, and it should be bechina as much as possible. It should try to be a bechina as much as possible. People have more children, be able to send more people to yeshivas and day schools. I think it should be a top priority to give money to them in order that it should lower the scholarship fund. People shouldn't feel embarrassed. They have a lot of children and things are rough. They should be able to go to no problem and to have more children to be able to send to yeshivas and day schools, etc. So that's something we should realize, that Epi Karan is the Ikra Din. Okay, let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, the Amar of Ika bar Avin Amar of Chanan Amar Rav. Might have said, what does it say? So we're going back to discuss the trap now. That he was reading on Rosh Hashanah. He was reading Rosh Hashanah in the gates of Yerushalayim before a lot of people were coming back from Golos Babel. So Gemara says, what was Vayikra B'Sefer Taras Elokim? What is that? That refers to Zem Mikra. That refers to actual Mikra. Mefurash is what is explains the Targum. That's a very big question over here. It sounds like Targum, based on this Gemara, is Mamish Mehar Sinai. That's why Mishnah Mikra Becha Targum is so chashad dafka to do Unkelus. Many explain Afi Kabbalah. There's a huge unit to have Unkelus. That's the question over here. When Unkelus was the time of the Romans, what was he doing? So many explain. He was just teaching from his Rebbeim what exactly had been lost from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We really had it already at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that could also explain that maybe not all of it was accepted, because he is giving his mefarish a little bit. So that's why others are arguing. You know, Rashi argues on Unkelus. How could Rashi ever argue on Unkelus? We see over here from the Torah. So we explain that maybe since it was developed later, like it was lost a little bit. Not everything is mamish. We assume is halacha Moshe Mesinai and what Unkelus says. So anyway, so that's what we're talking about is targum. Veshum Seicha. What does it mean? Thinking about it. Elu apsukim. How to end a pasuk? When's the so pasuk? Etc. What's vayivinu b'mikra? Is it pisuk time? That's the trap. So that's the trap we see over here, Lechora, that is talking about the trap, not just you're not allowed to mechadesh a new thing. Ezra was doing something that was, in fact, from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Navi's not allowed to mechadesh something, so it must be that was from the times of Moshe. So Ve'amrilei, Elo Amasura. So Lechora, this Amrilei would have to be what Rabbi Yochanan would say, that these are the traditions, how to spell out things in partial and write them in full. Like the Torah has different things, like Ashur, Kachola, Metzirei, Chir, how to say them out with the diktuk, the proper way to explain them, and how to write them out is something that was taught by Ezra, which was given Masorah again from Moshe, the time of Moshe. Says in Rabbi Yitzchak, Mikra Sofrim, why they called Sofrim is the people who were in the times of Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, V'itur Sofrim, and also the certain words that were stylistic words they would use by the summit, they have just regular words, Vikarin Luksivan, words that are Kriva Luksiv, like things that are they're written one way but you're pronounced another way. Luksivan Vakleran, things are written and not read, like the famous example of Yishkavena, Yishkalena, it says Yishkalena, but we read it as Yishkavena, it's a completely different word we read it, that's Ksiv Lokri. Halakhala Moshe Vesina, these are Halakhala Moshe Sinai, that we do them in that form. So Mikra Soifrim, Mikra Soifrim, I'll just run through one a few examples. Is Eretz, Aretz. So the explaining Eretz or Aretz is going to be the difference between those two. It depends how it is. If it's an Esnapta or Zakev Koton, it's going to depend how you explain Eretz or Aretz. Shamayim or Mitzrayim. Those things, like when you have the word Yod in the final mem, like Shamayim or Mitzrayim, so the Chirik explained it, we could have it as Mitzrim. Or and Shemayim Lachor would be the same, but Mitzrayim it could be different. So that's the idea is examples of words that could be changed based on their accent and how you pronounce them. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Itur Sfar Mirtz Hashem in tomorrow's daf. I think it's the first time in the daf we went over our 30 minutes. Baruch Hashem, we had a lot to say in this daf. Mirtz Hashem will pick up tomorrow with Itur Sfar Bezrat Hashem.